following is a message at Living Savior Church in Asheville and Hendersonville, North Carolina. To learn more, go to lsavior.org. It's a familiar picture of a muscular man pushing a giant boulder uphill. You maybe have seen renditions of it, but do you know where it comes from? It's actually a popular figure in Greek mythology. A guy by the name of Sisyphus, a crafty and cunning man, a murderous man at that. He was condemned to an existence in the underworld where he was sentenced to push a boulder uphill. And right before he would reach the summit, the boulder would end up rolling all the way back down and he'd have to start back at the bottom, square one. Even if you're not familiar with the name Sisyphus, you probably have seen a picture like that, or maybe you've even seen how people have used that picture as an illustration in various aspects in our world. I've seen media use that picture to illustrate things like labor issues in the workforce, or the uphill battle of things like education. Even a sports team that is struggling and just can't quite get over the hump. Or even some issue in society where no matter how much we try and how much money we pour into it, we just never quite reach the summit of success. Come to think of it, it's very proverbial of a lot of issues in this world, and it's quite the illustration that's applicable for a lot of people. And so, come to think of it even further, what would we say if we were the ones that were put downhill underneath that rock like that of Sisyphus? What does that rock represent in your life? Is it the collection of 100 little things where all together those labels are on that rock and it just seems like we can't budge it enough? Or is it one major issue where no matter how long we strive and how hard we push, we never quite reach the end of that burden? It could be anything from a relationship that is busted to a marriage that needs more than mending, to economic burdens in our life, to issues and friction at work, to anxiety, depression, and fear of our future, even grief over the passing of a loved one, or the dread of our own death itself. All of these things can easily become, for any of us, the rock that we just can't quite move enough out of the way. Certainly, we can't quite reach the summit. What is that rock of Sisyphus in your life? Almost like any other time of year, Easter forces us to come face to face with these large obstacles in front of us. And it doesn't necessarily seem like that should be the case on a day like today, and coming to grips with the fact that these women, they find the tomb empty and that stone is rolled away. But that stone that they encounter is emblematic of a whole lot more than just something that covers the tomb of Jesus. It is emblematic of the fears that they feel and think and experience, and the fears that you and I feel and think and experience as well. And so could it be that our God and Savior has something in store for us as he deals with those large obstacles in our life, especially on a day like today, these events of Easter? So what were those women thinking and feeling? Well, maybe a good way to think about it is, have you ever woken up from what you thought was just a nightmare, a bad dream? And you, in fact, you hope that it was, but as you wipe the sleep out of your eyes, you kind of shake your head because the tragedy and the trauma that you experienced the day before was in fact real. Have you ever had such an occurrence? Or maybe have you ever woken up where you still feel the pain in the back of your throat from a long night of sobbing and crying? Your eyes are still puffy, maybe even bloodshot. I mean, what were these women thinking? The first words that we hear out of their mouths are, they ask each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? But so much more goes beyond just that question, who will roll that stone away? How would they ever be able to deal with the real issue at hand? You see, it was just days before that their Savior, their teacher, and their friend was with them. And there was nothing he couldn't do. I mean, they had been following him for years. He had given them such peace, and he had performed such miracles. He gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. The lame could walk. He fed thousands. He even raised the dead. More than that, he gave them peace with God, and he saved their souls. Instead of facing this immovable burden from the religious teachers of the day, who required more and more obedience, they just couldn't quite get there, Jesus gave them peace in their soul and forgiveness with God. There was nothing he couldn't do, but as is too often the case, death has a way of changing that. Jesus was wrongfully captured, unjustly tried, and sentenced and brutally executed by a Roman cross for all to see. And yes, these women did see it. Standing at a distance, they saw the lifeless body of their friend, their teacher, and their supposed savior peeled off a cross, hastily wrapped and quickly buried. You see, the Sabbath started that Friday night, and as the events of the cross had pushed that day late, there was no time for burial preparations because of the requirements of the Sabbath in their day. And so Jesus had to be buried, and they watched that stone roll in front of their dead friend, who wasn't even buried properly. That stone rolled in front of a whole lot more. Their hopes, their dreams, that peace that they once had. Now there's this massive boulder that stands in front of it all. And of course, that rock is emblematic of a whole lot more than just this question: who will roll that stone away? You see, with every step, they get closer and closer, and that stone seems to be like a much larger and larger issue. But really what's going on inside is the fear and the worry and the dread of dealing with this on their own. Their faithless worrying and their doubtful hearts that Jesus died for nothing. Now they have to deal with their own hearts and the pain of their own souls on their own. With every single step, the weight gets heavier and heavier, and maybe we know what that's like. To look at the amount of guilt in our past and the burden that weighs down our consciences, and the curiosity, more than that, the question that we have to somehow find peace with God on our own. With every single step in life, that burden only gets heavier if we're left on our own. They are looking at this giant stone in front of them. And it would have been big. It would have been way too big for them. It's nice if they could have just budged it a little bit and if the stone was really the only problem. But as with most things in life, the biggest issues are more than just skin deep. And don't we know that? Just as they were feeling a whole bag of emotions of fear, so too we know that the biggest stones, obstacles, burdens in life are things like anxiety and depression and fear and worry. I mean, there are things like anxiety that holds us down. It's immobilizing. Depression is like a dark cloud that weighs over us. It's demoralizing. And even the grief that we feel inside, it somehow grips us. It could be paralyzing. Let's say they could even get to that rock and they could budge it a little bit. There's no guarantee they can move it enough and have it stay there. So also is death. There's no way of cheating death. In fact, this giant gravestone for Jesus' tomb is emblematic of the gravestone that will be over our tomb. Whether it is a 12-foot high boulder or even if it's a 2-foot high gravestone, there's no cheating death or removing the inevitable that we at some time are going to have to face our own mortality. And we cannot overcome it. Not for good. Not forever. So they ask, who will roll the stone away? That stone of fear and guilt and dread and grief and yes, even death. And with every single step, they get closer, and to their amazement, what do they see? They see that stone has been rolled away. And when that stone is rolled away, now what happens? far bigger than what was just there at face value. Beyond the stone, they can now see the place where Jesus was laid, but he is no longer a dead savior who lies there. That place is empty. Behind that stone, they can step in to this new reality where all of their burial rites and practices are no longer needed because death no longer fills that space. It's empty. Beyond that stone, they can now hear this messenger from God declare to them a new reality that rocks their world and changes there forever, and yours and mine too. What did he say? Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behind and beyond that stone is a new reality that God welcomes them and us into, a reality of life and of peace. The fear and the faithless worrying that all of this was in vain, that fear and that worry is now vanity itself. The size of that guilt and the weight of our sin is entirely gone, for the Savior who died on that cross went there to pay for our sin, and to prove that it was paid in full, he rose from the grave. And look at the empty tomb to prove it. All of death itself, which is this large looming object that we approach closer and closer, and we cannot avoid it and we cannot erase it forever, it has been rolled away to welcome us into a new reality that does not cease to exist. It is life, and it is life forever. You see, the greatest boulders in life and the giantest stones in front of us do not exist in front of us only to take us back down to the bottom. No, they are entirely rolled away with that stone in front of Jesus' tomb because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And we can even say that ancient word, hallelujah, that word of praise, because our God has welcomed us in to this beautiful reality where sin is erased, where the devil is destroyed, and where death is defeated. It all lies in the empty wake of that space known as Jesus' tomb. As he invites us to see and to hear and to experience what is now Easter, just Easter. The one thing that stands when absolutely everything else fails. God certainly let them into this new reality, but I wonder if you've ever thought about the stone and Jesus' tomb in this way. Did you ever consider that God did not necessarily have to roll that stone away? Oh, I'll prove it to you. Later, that first Easter Sunday, the disciples are hiding behind closed doors for fear that the Jews are going to kill them next. And who appears to them? The door's not open. There's no open windows. There's no trap door. There's no rope to swing in from the ceiling. No. Who appears? Jesus. The Son of God in all his glory and power cannot be constrained or restrained in any way. He does not need a door to open like you need your front door to go out in the morning. He doesn't need any of that. He can come and go as he pleases. He not only fills the universe, he now in his glory and in his bodily resurrection can appear out of nowhere. He doesn't need that stone to be rolled away. You see, growing up, we can kind of think that the stone had to be rolled away in order to let Jesus out. But the primary purpose for that stone being rolled away is not to let Jesus out. It's to let those women and you and me in. And when God lets us into this new reality, what does he let us in on? It's no longer a secret because it happened in public. It's on full display for everyone to see. In that day, at that time, everyone could go and see that tomb is empty. And that man who rose from the dead is not just a man, but he is the Son of God who appeared to hundreds of people and changed their life and made them willing to die for him. You don't do that over a hoax. He appeared to 500 other people who somehow had the same exact revelation. That cannot be just a vision. People don't have the same kind of that. Not to that degree, not to that number. So when Jesus rose from the dead and that stone was rolled away, God primarily was letting the women and us in on this new reality. And what is that reality for you and for me? At the giantest stones in front of you, the biggest boulders that you cannot push, those that we even struggle to identify because sometimes we just struggle with the surface matters, that has all been removed. our sin, our weakness, our frailty, and the brokenness of this world, God gives us something beyond all that as he rolls the stone away and lets us in on the reality of forgiveness and peace with God forever. Death itself has no mastery over Jesus, and he did not just rise for himself, he rose for you. Even the internal battles of anxiety and fear and grief and depression, those are no match for the Savior who bursts out from the tomb so he can now ever be closer to you. And since he has taken care of your forever existence with him, will he not also be with you every step, starting today and tomorrow? Behind and beyond that tomb is a new reality, a reality of life and peace. And when that stone was rolled away, my friends, it was never going to be rolled back. You see, that's the real crux of the matter with Sisyphus. No matter how close he got, it would always roll back. Yes, it's emblematic of life. But you know what's very interesting? There's this, I'll call it a distant connection, but it still helps. Sisyphus was the king, according to this myth, according to their Greek tradition, he was the king of Corinth. And the city in Greece was riddled with lots of challenges. If you ever read 1 and 2 Corinthians, these letters that the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write, there's lots of challenges that he faced, lots of challenges that he faced. But right there, towards the end of his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul centers their hearts, their reality, their everything on this reality. No matter the struggles you face, no matter how it can seem in your own town, in your own life, like you also, like that former king, according to myth, are rolling this stone, he centers it all on the proof, the evidence that Jesus rose from the grave. You see, if Jesus stayed dead, and our hope is in a dead Savior saves no one. And these Greeks who appreciate wisdom, logic, and reason, just as you and I do, Paul does not just tell them to feel something. He doesn't just tell them to be convinced of something. He points them to the reality, the proof, the evidence itself that Jesus rose from the grave. He even says that there are many of these hundreds of people who are around, and you can go ask them, who have seen Jesus and who otherwise didn't believe in him. He says Jesus appeared to 500 other people. He says, how is it that I too, myself, was against Jesus, but now am for him and ready to die for him? And I'm telling you this, and I don't get anything from this, but rather that you would know this grace and peace that I have. You see, once you realize that Jesus' resurrection changes your forever, then that affects every day in the meantime. It affects your reality right now because that stone that was rolled away not only welcomes us into a new reality forever, that stone will never be rolled back to take us back to that old one. I met a young man this last week who, the week before, who actually challenged that premise. He said, I understand what you believe about the resurrection, and we had several conversations. He said, but here's something that I just don't know how to tell you without maybe offending you. And I kind of stopped him right there, and I said, you might not know this, because not all people do, because some people think pastors are just kind of weird people, but let me just tell you something. As a pastor, I hear some pretty interesting things. Just interesting is a very vague word. There are times when people will say things that others might consider to be crazy, and I've heard a lot of things. So whatever it is you're going to say, odds are A, I've heard it before, or B, it's not going to surprise me. And he said, are you sure? You asked for it. And I said, bring it on. And he said, growing up, I kind of heard these things about the resurrection. We weren't really churched all the time, didn't go to church all the time, but I knew about Easter and whatnot, and what the truth supposedly is. But more recently, in the last several years, I just kind of have come to think that it doesn't really matter for me right now. That it's just kind of one of those things that Christians have to come to grips with if you get one of those moments, like towards the end of your life, whenever that comes, and like that's really what it's for. Like, what do I actually believe comes after? I give him a lot of credit. Because a lot of people, I believe, think things like that and never either have the chance to share it, maybe don't have the courage to share it, or worry that even if they do have the chance or the courage to share it, that they're going to be beaten up over it. So I've actually validated the rationale behind what he's saying. That if this is something that's real, then shouldn't it actually have some weight, some bearing, some movement, some purpose in our life right here and now? I said, well, let me tell you a couple things. How about an older woman that I went to go visit recently, and she's in a nursing facility after a terrible fall. She smacked the back of her head and she doesn't even remember how it all happened. But even this woman, who is over the age of 90, when I went to visit her and I talked to her about the resurrection and how Jesus rose from the grave to always, always be with her, she, who thought that she was going to die, when she didn't know how she fell and she woke up in a pool of blood from behind her head, she knew that Jesus was with her. And not just that he was going to be with her in what comes next, if God was to call her home, but it's the same Jesus who has always been with her to guide, comfort, and encourage her. That made all the difference for her. And I would dare say, as a lady over the age of 90, she probably knows something that we don't. I told him another story of another young man I've been visiting with. We grab coffee every now and again, and this guy described himself as an atheist, and then as an agnostic, and then as a skeptic, and then as a stoic, and then just about any other kind of ick. And then recently, this young man described himself as more curious and questioning than Christian. Because for this man, he's starting to see that the more he recognizes that there's a Savior who died for him and rose for him, that it's not really about that Savior, that we're just supposed to like give him stuff and like just talk about him, that he realizes that's all for him. That actually gives him peace. And peace with God forever means that he can have a different outlook when he approaches people. He's trying to prove himself to everyone less. He tries to self-justify himself less. He finds comfort and peace. He even says he sleeps better. And sure, all of these things are different from one to the next, but that makes all the difference for him. So I said to this man that I was talking to, I said, could it be possible that if God raised his son from the dead, and if Jesus rolled that stone away from the grave, and if he accomplished that greater reality of giving you forgiveness with God and life eternal, could it be that tomorrow and whatever you face is actually small potatoes for God? Not that it's irrelevant to him, but that he actually cares and will take care of you. That led to a whole new discussion for that man. I believe it's leading to a whole new reality for that man. And for some of you, you've known that your whole life and you've always believed that, and God be praised. For others, you question it day after day. And for others, you might be totally new on that. But you know what makes Easter wonderful? Is that God doesn't just call us into some fake reality or to some Disney fairy tale. He rolled that stone away to let us in on something so that as very thoughtful Christians, we are pointing to evidences and we recognize the truth for what it is. And that truth is so intertwined, the connection cannot be any closer, that our sins are forgiven. Hell has been defeated. Death has been destroyed. And the Savior who rolled that stone away lets us in on that new reality so that no matter what happens in life and no matter what we face, when it is that next burden or boulder we are trying to move and we just can't budget, the Savior who overcame everything for us is with us every step of the way and will rescue us from it, because that stone has been rolled away. And with it, our greatest obstacles and fears in life and eternity. And in this new reality, my friends, that stone will never be rolled back, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.